Hello and welcome to the commentary for Lesson 318. This is some of 1 Kings 15 and 2 Chronicles 13 and 14. It's kind of choppy and all over the place because it's in chronological order. I will make this lesson quick, this commentary. It's pretty straightforward, the reading. There was just a couple confusing things that I'll discuss, but I wanted to tell y'all that I'm recording on my phone, so the reading has a little more errors than usual. I couldn't edit this. So I'm sitting in front of the middle school waiting for my son's bus to pull in to pick him up. He just had an away game, and it was his first, I don't know if they call it games, I guess not, wrestling. I'm new to the world of wrestling, but he's decided to take this up. So he had his first wrestling match, and I guess he had two matches. He didn't want his father and I to be there tonight. I think he was not feeling real confident, and he was just sure he would get beat, and he was a little nervous. So we didn't go, but I asked a friend to record it for me. But anyways, he won both his matches, so I'm really excited for him. When his bus pulls in, I'll be excited to hear all about it. So I'm just going to make this quick tonight, but usually I record in the morning, but I didn't get a chance today. So anyways, the first thing that stuck out to me was that in 1 Kings 15, Abijah's name changes to Abijam. But I know it's the same guy because it says it's the daughter of, or it's the son of, he reigned in Jerusalem. His mother was Maacah, who is the daughter of Absalom. Okay, and his mother was, in 2 Chronicles 13, it says his mother was Maacah, the daughter of Uriel from Gibeah. So Uriel from Gibeah must be his mother, and then Absalom is his father. Anyways, same guy. There's a note at the bottom of that page that says also known as Abijah. So it's the same guy. I don't know why the name change. I decided not to follow that rabbit down the tunnel. So, but another interesting twist is that in 1 Kings chapter 15, I'm sure you noticed this, verses 3 to 5, it says he committed, and it's talking about Abijah. He committed the same sins as his father before him. Okay, that would be Rehoboam was his father. And he was not faithful to the Lord his God as his ancestor David had been. But for David's sake, the Lord his God allowed his descendants to continue ruling, shining like a lamp. And he gave Abijah a son to rule after him in Jerusalem. For David had done what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, and he had obeyed the Lord's commands. So I love this. We see that God's covenant continues, and that David's faithfulness carries God's grace, even to his descendants. Even to his, this would be his, let's see, David, Solomon, Rehoboam, Abijah. So this is three generations after King David. And that covenant still exists, and God is still faithful to it. And I love that God gives grace to his descendants because of that. That should be a reminder to us that our lives affect those who come behind us. Of course it does. So, and then it's interesting that it says, for David had done what was pleasing the Lord's sight and had obeyed the Lord's commands throughout his life. And then it says, except in the affair concerning Uriah the Hittite. Oh, yeah. Except for that one little thing. You know, remember where he had an adulterous affair and then married the, and then murdered the husband? Oh, yeah. But besides that one little thing, just kind of cracks me up how it just like glazes over it like it's no big deal. But anyways, but then in 1 Chronicles or 2 Chronicles 13, it says that they went to war against Jeroboam, and Abijah's camp went to war against Jeroboam. Apparently they fought a lot and often, and he basically says to the army of Jeroboam, like, hey, You really think you can come up against us? I know that you have 800,000 warriors and we only have half of that, but we are God's people. We're in the line of David. You don't stand a chance. Verse 10, he says, but as for us, the Lord is our God, and we have not abandoned him. Only the descendants of Aaron serve the Lord as priests, and the Levites alone may help them in their work. So there's definitely a line in the sand here about which side someone is on. I mean, you're either for the Lord or against the Lord in this case. And he's saying, Abijah's saying, look, dude, you don't want to be on the other side of God. You should know that. Do you really think you even have a chance? Jeroboam tried some sneaky tactic where he separated the army and got them from both behind and in front. And that would normally spell doom for the troops in the middle. But this was no ordinary army. This was Judah's army. And God was watching over them. It says in verse 14, when Judah realized that they were being attacked from the front and the rear, they cried out to the Lord for help. Then the priests blew the trumpets, and the men of Judah began to shout. At the sound of their battle cry, God defeated Jeroboam and all Israel and routed them before Abijah in the and the army of Judah. So God defeated Jeroboam. Right? 500,000 of Israel's select troops were killed that day. So Judah defeated Israel on that occasion because they trusted in the Lord. So that's pretty amazing. And then God finally strikes Jeroboam dead later on. It says, so Jeroboam of Israel never regained his power during Abijah's lifetime. And finally, the Lord struck him down and he died. So that is that. Meanwhile, Abijah of Judah, Sam's getting in the car. Let me open the trunk for him. Meanwhile, Abijah gets married, has 14 wives and 20. I'm almost done, bud. 22 sons and 16 daughters. And that's pretty much it about his reign. And then we will talk in the next lesson will be about his son, Asa, who will become the next king. So I'm anxious to talk to Sam and see how he did. That's it for today. Hope you all have a great day. I'll talk to you soon.